Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special 3-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 10 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. It is program 282 in the series. To my right, the very effervescent Lisa Wolf.
You almost had a new adjective, but not quite.
It's new.
It is. I think I've heard that one just
well,
a few times.
You are effervescent.
Thank you.
And your hair.
It's shiny today, right?
Just looks so shiny and new.
It's a new shampoo.
Wow. Yep. I want to hear more about that.
Okay.
And we have Shante Garth in the booth, so everything's going to be smooth sailing.
Yep.
We have the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show because it's Mother's Day tomorrow, Lisa.
It sure is. Almost now. It's about 50 minutes away.
Right. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We have a Mother's Day show on the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show. Then it's the Green Hornet. And then Box 13, starring Alan Ladd. And it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. And it's time to play our game, Cat's Pride. Crack the quote. What's the movie?
The movie is Toy Story, the original 1995
movie. Tom Hanks.
Yes. And,
oh, yeah. Great voices in that.
Definitely.
All right. So the number to call, 312-981-7200 to play the game with us. What's the prize?
Two tickets to see Company, which is playing right now at Mercury Theater Chicago.
All right. Call now, 312-981-7200. We'll take the fifth caller and we'll play the game right after these words.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
And we have Daryl on the phone to play with us. Hi, Daryl.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Glad you made it through. Are you ready to do a little Toy Story?
I'm going to try.
Okay, all right. We've got three quotes. You just tell me which one is the right one, and then we'll see if Carl agrees. He tends to like to disagree with people, but we'll see how it goes. Quote number one, I'm eternally grateful for the dusty toys in the attic. Number two, don't worry that the kids never listen to you. Worry that they are always watching you. Number three, the word I'm searching for, I can't say because there's preschool toys present.
You know what? That one's kind of self-explanatory, I think. I'm going to go with number three.
Number three? You like that one?
I like it too, Daryl. I'm going to agree with Daryl,
really?
Which is the opposite of disagreeing
yes.
with Daryl.
Wow, he's in a good mood tonight, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's see if it's number three.
The word I'm searching for, I can't say, because there's preschool toys present.
And you guys got it right. You
ding,
did
ding,
great.
Ding, ding.
Good job.
Way to go, Daryl.
Most importantly, we're so happy to give you two tickets to see Company by Stephen Sondheim. It's playing right now. Oh, good. A little delayed
Found
reaction.
My bell.
Good. You can ring my bell. It's playing through June 3rd at the Mercury Theater Chicago. It's in their new Venus Cabaret stage. It's a great show. I saw it. I loved it. It's a party, and everyone is invited. Check it out at mercurytheaterchicago.com. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Daryl. All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy. All right. It is time now for the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show. But I want to remind all of our listeners, we have a text in line. We love getting your text. It's 312-981-7200. Feel free to text us anytime tonight, 312-981-7200.
We just had a really quickly a great text in, and somebody said that his late mother so admired Alice Faye that she took Alice as her confirmation name in the 30s. And I just have to add that, you know, my mom is named Alice Faye after this radio show.
She absolutely
so,
is.
So there's a little kindred spirit
well,
there.
Well, in this
so.
Particular episode, there's going to be a Mother's Day party for the RCA employees, which are the sponsors of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show. This is going to be a lot of fun. Here's part one now from May 13th, 1951 of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris, Alice Faye show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Rose Marie, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Mr. Scott, the sponsor, has arranged a big Mother's Day party today for the employees of the RCA Victor Company. Alice and Phil and their mothers have been invited.
You know, Alice, I think it's swell of Mr. Scott to have a party for all of us and our mothers.
Yes. And you know, Mr. Scott is offering a prize for the mother who is the best cook and one for the prettiest mother. I'm sure my mom will win the prettiest mother contest.
Silly girl. When it comes to looks, my mom is known as the middle-aged Ava Gardner.
Well, that's a novelty. A middle-aged man with a middle-aged mother. Well, I know my mother will win it, but if you don't believe me, ask anybody. Like my brother Willie. Oh, Willie? Willie, whose mother is prettier, ours or Phil's?
I think Philip's mother is prettier.
Willie, how can you pick his mother over ours?
Because Philip gave me $5 to say it, and you didn't offer me a nickel.
I should have known better than to ask you. I'll ask the children. Baby Alice, who do you think is prettier, Grandma Harris or Grandma Faye?
Oh, I think Grandma Harris is prettier.
I'm going to cut this off without a penny. What made you pick Grandma Harris?
Because she looks just like Daddy.
That's a nasty thing to say about your own grandmother.
The trouble with you, Faye, is you're just jealous of the Harris family beauty. It's our Indian blood that gives us our fine classical features of the true early American. Oh, well, it serves me right. Grandmother told me never to marry a pale face.
Your grandmother never liked me.
Well, why should she? You don't make any effort to get along with her.
Now, how can you say that? Once a month, I go out to see her at the reservation.
Big thing. She goes to see her at the reservation. But you never hold a conversation with her.
I tried to, but she doesn't understand me.
She would if you took smoke signal lessons, like I told you.
Oh, Phil, let's not argue. Both our mothers are pretty. But I'm sure my mother will win the prize for the best cook. Have you ever tried her corned beef and cabbage?
You haven't lived until you've tasted my mother's buffalo meat blintzes. And as for her dried corn popovers, well, they're just... come in.
Hiya, Curly.
Ah, hello, Frankie.
Happy Mother's Day, Alice. I brought you a present.
Oh, thank you, Frankie. What is it?
A greeting card. Go ahead, read it out loud.
Okay. To a sick aunt. Aunt.
Well, they're all out of Mother's Day cards. But I like the sentiment of this one. Go ahead, read it.
Okay. It grieves us so to see you ill, lying there so white and still. So get out of bed as soon as you're able. We need the sheet for the dining room table. Card is that for Mother's Day?
I hope you gave your own mother something nicer than that.
Well, naturally. You see, in my youth, I was a bit of a problem. And as a result of my adolescent escapades, Mother has grown old before her time. But I think the present I gave her today will remedy that.
Oh? What'd you give her?
A gift certificate for a facelifting job.
Oh, what a lovely gift.
Well, if you like it, Alice, I'll get one for you, too.
All right. This boy's always thinking of the welfare of his loved ones. Like last year, the doctor said his grandmother needed some rest and quiet, that she should get away from the hustle and bustle of city life. And you know what Frankie did?
What?
He bought her a due bill for a 2 weeks vacation and a duck blind.
Greater love hath no man.
Say, Frankie, are you taking your mother to the party tonight?
Of course. Who's having a party?
Mr. Scott's having a party for all the employees and their mothers.
And he didn't invite me?
Oh, don't feel bad, Frankie.
Well, it's all right. If he doesn't want me, he doesn't want me. But I'll get even with him. When Mother and me get to his party, we won't talk to him.
Gremley, you can't take your mother to a party you haven't been invited to.
I have to. Mom's going to think it's awful funny that the company has a big party and doesn't invite the president and his mother.
Gremley, you didn't tell your mother that you're the president of RCA Victor.
Oh, of course not. I couldn't tell her a fib like that.
Thank goodness.
She thinks I'm still president of the Rexall Company. How can Scotty do this to my mother?
All right, all right. Don't get upset, Frankie. It was probably an oversight. He wouldn't do... Wait a minute. Come in. Hey, it's Scotty.
Hello, Mr. Scott.
Hello, Mrs. Harris. Mr. Harris, I was... Oh, hello, Remley.
Don't you talk to me.
Harris, what's bothering Lefty the Lush?
You know what's bothering me. You're having a party tonight. You didn't invite me. Why?
The party is only for employees and their mothers.
Well, I have a mother.
Oh, you're kidding. I'm sorry, Remley, but the thought didn't occur to me that you ever had a mother.
Where'd you think I came from?
I thought you just accumulated like the sediment at the bottom of a beer barrel.
Mr. Scott, you're a nasty old man. But in spite of your nastiness, I want you to know that I hate you.
Frankie, Mr. Scott is a very nice person, and you're the only one I know who hates him.
I am not. Got my mother working on it, too.
Oh, keep quiet. Mrs. Harris, I'm planning a little entertainment tonight. I was wondering if I could get somebody to sing for us.
My mother will be glad to sing.
Your mother sings, Harris?
Oh, sure. You ought to hear Mom's rendition of The Thing in Cherokee.
Well, that's not exactly what I had in mind.
It ain't, huh? Then I'll be glad to sing for you.
That ain't what I had in mind either. Mrs. Harris, I thought perhaps you'd sing.
Oh, I'll be glad to.
What do you want me to do?
You can be one of the judges for the contests, Harris.
Oh, okay.
As you know, I am personally donating all the prizes. I don't like to brag.
Then don't.
What's the first prize, Mr. Scott?
Well, you've seen that beautiful RCA Victor 19-inch television set I have in my home.
You're giving away a television set?
No, no, but the winner will be allowed to come over to my house and watch a whole Hopalong Cassidy picture free of charge.
Well, I don't think my mother'd be interested in the first prize. She's a Tim McCoy fan. Why stay? Corn pops. And it really is. Look, Mr. Scott, what would Mom get if she won second prize?
A free ride on a 45 RPM record player. No.
Remley, will you please keep out of this?
Not unless you invite me to your party.
All right, you can come.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Scott, is there anything in particular you'd like to have me sing tonight?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, Mrs. Harris. I wrote a little song that I think might be appropriate for the occasion.
Oh, how nice. What's the name of it?
I call it That RCA Mother of Mine. That's cute, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It has a nice saleable sentiment to it. I think, though, it should have an arrangement for cash register, don't you? I got an idea, Scotty. Why don't you let Alice and me do a duet?
What duet?
The Letter. It's a record we made for your company. I'll tell you what, we'll sing it for you right now. The record sells for 85 cents. Do you want to pay us now, or would you like to wait until we finish?
I'll wait.
Righto. I had planned to be wed to a redhead named Red. But I had to go away. Now to Red I was true, and I thought she was too, till she wrote me a letter one day, reading,
"Dear John, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two. So farewell to you, dear John.
Dear John,
John.
In Paris I met a brunette named Yvette. C'est sur la femme, she was my chérie. The wedding was set, but Yvette, I regret, sent the following letter to me, reading.
Dear Jean, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two, but two to you, dear Jean.
Dear Jean, dear Jean.
I'm in Dublin one day on the loose, and I asked Kitty O'Shea, I said, kids, would you be my Colleen? A letter she wrote, and inside of her note, sure a shamrock was pressed in between, reading.
Dear John, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two, so farewell to you. Dear John,
dear John, dear John.
When sweet Lilani showed Hawaii to me, I fell for her native charm. Give me something, said I, to remember you by. So she drew a tattoo on my arm.
Boing!
Reading.
Dear John, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two. So aloha to you, dear John.
Dear John, dear John.
But now I got Sal, just a hillbilly gal. She's pretty, she's big, and she's dumb, a buttermilk drinker. She's learned how to fight, but she ain't learned to write, so's, I reckon no letter will come. Reading.
Dear John, I think the world of you, but I'm in love with someone new. I could marry one, but I can't marry two. So farewell to you, dear John. Dear John, dear John.
What's my name?
Clyde.
That song will be perfect for tonight, Mrs. Harris.
You know something, Scotty? I can't wait for your party tonight. Gee whiz, we ought to have a lot of fun.
Well, I hope the rest of you will, but I don't think it will be a very pleasant occasion for me. You see, my mother isn't coming.
Can't stand the sight of you, huh?
It's not that. Mother lives in the East. She was flying out here for the party, but she was forced down in Chicago.
Her arms get tired?
Lisa, there's my joke right there.
Yeah, that shows how old it is. That joke's been around a while.
I think they stole that joke from me.
Oh, I know. You were around way before this.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break from the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Mother's Day show. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David Jennings. And we are back. It is 11:37. We're live here in the Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And it's raining. Not too bad, though. It stopped raining.
No, but it's a great night for classic radio.
It's just raining a little bit.
Don't you think?
Yeah. People were walking by.
You didn't hear anything I just said.
I thought I noticed there's a guy. He looked like the guy that gave me the double birds one time.
I bet.
Looked just like him.
A lot of people do that, though, don't they?
I'm a little...
You don't hear anything I'm saying, do you?
Yes.
No.
I hear you.
You're just...
I wouldn't
be able
to answer you.
You don't answer me. You're just on your own little roll.
I'm a little freaked out about that guy that gave me double birds.
Yeah.
It's about 2 years ago.
It's still bothering you.
We are listening to a Mother's Day episode of the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. Let's go back to May 13th, 1951. Fun show. Phil Harris and Alice Faye.
Will you please keep quiet? Won't be much of a party for me, but I'll make the best of it. Well, I have to be running along. I'll see you all at the party tonight. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Scott.
So long, Scotty.
Oh, Phil, I feel terrible about Mr. Scott. He'll be the only one whose mother isn't here.
Yeah, that's right. And the guy should be near his mother on Mother's Day. I feel sorry for him, too. Don't you, Fremley?
My heart cries for him, dies for
all
him.
All right, never mind, never mind.
Curly, maybe we ought to...
Wait a minute, just hold it. Will he come in?
Daddy!
Hello, Julius.
Hey, hiya, kid. What you got there?
And as much as this is Mother's Day, I have brung a present for the fairest flower in all the land. Here you are.
Thank you, son. Now you may kiss my cheek. I'll just put these in the
box. Get your grubby paws off of them dandelions. They're for Miss Faye.
Oh, it's very sweet of you, Julius, and I love dandelions.
I knew you would. And they're very practical, too. When the bloom is gone, you can make wine out of them.
What are you trying to do, make a wino out of my wife?
Where did you get your mother, Julius?
I bought her a crash helmet.
A crash helmet?
Yeah. She's the anchor man for the women's roller derby team. Skating. She's always on roller skates.
Don't they get rusty when she takes a bath?
She don't wear them in the house. Except for the time when she lost her skate key. For 2 days, she couldn't get her skates off. Papa almost left her.
Why?
How would you like to wake up in the middle of the night with cold wheels running up and down your...
Your mother always been a roller skater?
Oh, no, she used to be in vaudeville. She was one of the greatest mimics in the business. Her best imitation is Jimmy Durante.
Say, Julius, maybe you could bring your mother to Mr. Scott's Mother's Day party tonight to entertain.
I'll be glad to. Sounds like it ought to be a lot of fun.
Well, it will be for everybody except Mr. Scott. Poor man. His mother won't be there.
Yeah, and I wish we could help him. It's his party, and he ought to have a mother.
Why don't you call Abby Rents and hire one for him?
Don't be crude.
Hey, say, that gives me an idea. Excuse me, fellas. Hiring a mother isn't such a bad idea. Mr. Scott ought to have a mother this evening, and I'm going to get him one. I'll go over and see Mrs. West. She plays mother roles in pictures, and she'd be perfect. Oh, Phil, I'll be right back.
Okay, honey. Oh, gee whiz, that Scotty should have a mother tonight. I wish I could help him. Hey, excuse me a minute, fellas. My sponsor needs a mother, I'll hire him one. And I'll get one who looks the part. Now, let's see, where does a guy go to find a mother who looks like a television set? Hey, Remley.
Huh?
Entertain Julius. I'll be back in a minute.
What do you mean I should entertain him?
You hired a Mac, entertain me. Do some tricks. Walk over some hot coals in your bare feet.
I'll be quiet. I haven't got time now. I gotta do something. Excuse me.
Scotty was nice enough to invite me to the party, so I'm gonna get somebody to play his mother. She ought to resemble Scotty, but where can I find a mother with a mustache and a horrible disposition? No, I won't be vindictive. I'll get him a pretty mother.
Hey, Julius, talk to yourself. I'll be right back.
What kind of a house is this? Everybody goes off and leaves me alone. Gee, it's a shame about Mr. Scott. He ought to have a mother for the party. Hey, I got an idea.
All right, what do you want already?
I want you to pretend that you're somebody's mother.
Why do you want me to pretend I'm somebody's mother, Mac?
Stop imitating me! Look, Mom, Mr. Scott's having a party tonight, and his mother won't be there, so I want you to pretend you're her. Can you imitate somebody old?
Of course I can, son. Gentlemen of the jury, don't send this boy to jail.
Not my little mouthy boy!
Look, I want you to give your best imitation tonight.
My best? Well, if that's the one you want, okay.
All right, ladies, mothers, please, attention, ladies, please. I want to take this opportunity to welcome all you mothers on this happy occasion. We are going to have some entertainment by the mothers themselves. First of all, Mrs. Remley will deliver a short lecture on the evils of having children. After that, Mrs. Fay will give an impersonation of Rudy Valley singing the Whiffenpoof song. Following that will be the highlight of the evening. Mrs. Harris will give an exhibition of Indian wrestling.
Not yet, Mom. Keep your blanket on till it's your turn.
Simmer down, please. Quiet. Before the entertainment starts, I'd like to say a few words. You've all noticed the empty chair at my side. It seems that my mother...
Mr. Scott, don't say anything about your mother not being here. I hired an actress to play your mother.
Oh, Mrs. Harris, you shouldn't have...
Oh, it's too late. She's coming in now.
Hello, son.
Hello, mother.
It's so good to see you, son.
Did Alice tell you this is costing you $4 an hour?
It's good to see you too, mother.
What do you mean, $4 an hour?
Oh, you're looking splendid, son.
And stop beefing. I usually get time and a half on Sunday.
Well, sit down next to me, mother dear.
I make a flat deal, $8 for the whole evening.
Folks, I didn't expect mother to show up, but she did, and I must say this is
Scotty,
a surprise.
Scotty,
You don't know it, but you're in for another surprise. I hired a mother for you, too.
You didn't.
Hello, son. Oh, it's so good to see you again.
Lady,
my boy. Folks, I want you to know that I'm so happy to be here with my son, the maker of those wonderful RCA Victor television sets, the set that has a clear, bright, steady picture.
All right, lady, all right.
Let her talk. Please continue, you dear old commercial mother of mine.
Just a moment, Mr. Scott. Do you mean you have two mothers?
Yes, father was very rich. He overdid everything. Seriously, folks, I don't really have two mothers.
No, you have three, Scotty.
Three?
Scotty, I want you to meet your mother, Bubbles Laverne.
Oh, sonny boy.
But
aren't you going to give your mother a great big kiss?
Now, look here, young lady. Oh, mommy. Come sit on your little boy's lap.
Mr. Scott!
Yes, Mother's Day, yes, go. Folks, there has been a misunderstanding, but I think this is my last mother.
You want to bet?
Quiet, please. Now, I'd like everybody to join me in singing a little tribute to the one we all love best, our mother. Ready?
Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to you.
Stop the music. Which one of you is Clyde Scott?
Mom, not Durante!
I'm Clyde Scott. Who are you?
I'm your mother. Now, pucker up your lips, Sonny, and give me a kiss.
I don't want to kiss you.
And sharpen your nose, and we'll duel each other. A million of them.
Look, lady, I'm loaded with mothers. I don't need you. Go away, please.
To think I'd ever hear this from my boy Umbriaco. All right, I'll go. But remember, who will be with you when I'm far away?
when I'm for, let me hear that high note. And hold up me with you when I'm falling late. Let me hear that high note again.
I didn't know Durante was a mother. folks, this is embarrassing. I realize it's a little unusual for a man to have four mothers, but I can explain. You see, my mother was supposed to be here, but her plane was grounded in Chicago, and these people, meaning well, went out and hired...
Hello, son, I'm here.
Oh, no, another one. Now, look, lady, I've... Mother! My real mother. Mom, I thought you weren't coming.
I got another plane out of Chicago, and here I am, son.
Oh, it's so good to see you, Mother. Folks, I want you to meet my real mother.
A likely story.
Will you wait for him to applaud for his real mother, please? Of course, I don't believe it myself. Where did he hire? Imagine a guy hiring somebody to play his own mother.
Oh, but gentlemen...
I'm
this
taking
is...
my mother out of here. Hold your teepee, Mom.
I'm leaving, too. Come along, Bubbles, dear.
Oh, now, don't everybody go. I tell you, this is my mother. This one isn't a phony. She's the real McCoy. Please come back. Oh, Mama. Everybody's left my party.
Now, don't cry, Clyde. We don't need them. We can have fun ourselves. Tell you what, you can take me where you took me last Mother's Day.
Can I?
Yes, we'll go to your factory and I'll help you polish the 17-inch screens.
Oh, Mama. You and I'll wipe.
Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. Only RCA Victor could bring you an album like this. It's the exciting new album of six hit songs and the overture from the latest Rodgers and Hammerstein Broadway success, The King and I. Here are the songs that have taken Broadway by storm, superbly sung by four great RCA Victor recording stars, superbly recorded in one spine-tingling album by RCA Victor. To cast this brilliant The King and I album, RCA Victor has picked four singing stars such as have never before been assembled between the covers of one album. Think of it. Dinah Shore and Tony Martin from the popular field, Patrice Munsell and Robert Merrill from the operatic field. Only RCA Victor could ever present the marvelous music of The King and I, so expertly cast, so beautifully sung, so superbly recorded in all three record speeds. Get The King and I album at your RCA Victor dealer tomorrow.
Folks, you know what traffic accidents are. They're something that happened to other people, but not to you. That's the thinking of the majority of America's drivers. And that's the thinking that causes traffic accidents. Obey the traffic regulations and drive carefully. The care you take may save a life. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Remember, whether you're buying a television set, a radio, a Victrola phonograph, or a record, put your faith in the cornerstone of American home entertainment for three generations. RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television.
Stay tuned for Hedda Hopper on NBC.
That's the Phil Harris and Ellis Faye Show, a Mother's Day program from May 13th, 1951, sponsored by RCA Victor. Phil Harris, Ellis Faye, along with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Gail Gordon in that cast. You know who else was in this program? I'm not sure who she was in the show. Rose Marie, you know, from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Of course. Didn't she pass away recently?
Yes, she passed away recently. But she was in this show.
Loved
She's part of
her.
The cast, Rose Marie. All right, hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater.
Carl, are you going to be at the Walk of Fame this Friday?
Yeah.
So you can join the WGN Radio Walk of Fame ceremony and live broadcast this Friday, May 18th. We'll be there beginning at 10 a.m. outside the Tribune Tower on Pioneer Court. No way. You know what? Every year we come and we always think it might, and it never does.
Here's what happens. If it rains, I'm fine. But this is what Lisa will sound like.
How dare you? I'm melting.
That's if it rains, I probably wouldn't be able to show up then, because that would be my ending right there. But to learn more about this year's inductees at WGNradio.com/Walk of Fame, we'll talk about them a little bit later on the show, but we will be there and we'll honor the five inductees as well.
All
very
right.
Exciting.
Thanks. Hey, you know what? You're a minute away from Mother's Day, Lisa.
I know.
And all the other mothers out there. My mom is almost 90.
Oh my gosh.
She listens
Carl.
Every weekend to the show.
Well, of course. She
falls asleep by about the second show.
Yeah,
though.
I do too.
Sometimes she says she wakes up and she hears Nick the Jillio.
And you're still talking.
Or Dave Plyer.
Right.
But she falls asleep and then wakes up again, and then the other people are on.
The other people. It's just
either
Carl
Dave
and then the
or
other
Nick.
People.
It's either Dave or Nick.
Right.
So someone texted in and said that Rose Marie from the
yes.
Dick Van Dyke Show was the mother of of Gail Gordon, who was sort of doing the Jimmy Durante impersonation.
Yeah, and a few people have actually mentioned that she's famous
wow.
for her Jimmy Durante impression.
Wow. She so. Sounded just like him.
Yeah, she is a remarkable. She was remarkable.
Wow, yeah.
So we can
very,
miss her
very
now.
Nice. All right, there. That was the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. In our next hour, it is the Green Hornet. And then Box 13 with Alan Ladd. So we have more classic radio coming your way.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, David Jennings. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. It is officially Mother's Day. Don't forget to get your mom something great on this day and to text every mother you know. I have a lot of mothers. A lot of mothers in
you
my...
know, I honestly think it's less about getting her something great and more about at least be with her, spend time with her,
yeah.
and appreciate her.
But they also appreciate nice gifts, too.
Some do, some don't.
What are you going to get for Mother's Day from your hubby?
I don't
or
know.
Or your kids? Do your kids get you something, or is it your hubby?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Jillian's going to make something for me.
Oh, nice.
And
so why don't we just spend a moment to talk about your new shampoo?
Oh,
Because you're... this is really true, folks. I saw her in the parking lot, and I said, wow, you look really nice, Lisa.
And I said, I
got a new shampoo.
I said, I do? Are you being serious? Because I'm wearing leggings and a sweatshirt.
No, you look
And you're
nice.
Like, no, you do. You're like shining.
You're shiny and new.
And I realized it's my new shampoo, so my daughter
so
talked me into it.
So you stopped using Prel?
I stopped using Prel. I couldn't find it anymore
and what
at
about,
the store.
And what about... Wild Root Cream Oil. Are you still
using
that?
Oh, I still use that.
Okay, good.
I still, that's my go-to for
hair
product. What
is this shampoo called?
It's,
and this is not a paid
it's
endorsement.
It's embarrassingly expensive.
Oh, man.
That's the problem.
Lisa has a lot of money.
No, it's my
Lisa's
daughter.
Rich.
She talked me into it. We're sharing it. We literally bring
you,
it back and forth to the,
paid
our bathrooms.
For it together like
no,
you
no,
pitched
no, no,
in?
No, 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 no. I bought it, and then she gets to use it
oh.
whenever she wants to.
What I want to know is, does Dan know about how expensive this shampoo
he
was?
He absolutely does not.
He doesn't know. He probably knows now.
No, he doesn't. He's
if
not
he's listening,
listening,
he knows.
I didn't get a text yet, so...
You don't want to say the name of the
oh,
shampoo?
Oh, sure.
What
it's called
it?
Moroccan oil. There's a smoothing shampoo and a smoothing conditioner. You have to buy it at a salon. You can't get it at Target.
Well,
you have
yeah,
to go to
fancy.
It's like a professional
I mean,
salon
You know
quality.
Where I buy my shampoo?
I usually
Target.
Go to, I go to Costco.
Yeah.
I usually use Pantene from Costco or Nexus, but this is special, and that's why I'm shiny.
Well, maybe it'll get rid of your dandruff.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
whatever works.
Starting to be a little... too much.
It's a little too much.
As I'm walking, I'm crunching.
Right,
a lot of
on
times
the on those white
you.
Pieces.
All
yeah,
right.
I'm gonna work on that.
So the Green Hornet in this this hour. And then in hour three, it's Box 13, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. What is the movie?
The movie is L.A. Confidential, 1997.
That's a great movie. Yeah,
all right,
great
movie. Maybe you'll know it.
Let's play Crack the Quote. Call us now, 312-981-7200. Third caller will play the game live with us.
Right, and this is for two tickets to see Musical, which is playing right now at the Mercury Theater, Chicago.
Call now, 312-981-7200. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
I was just enjoying the music. We have Glenn on the phone. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Glenn.
How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Pennyman Park, Illinois.
Great. Well, we're glad you're with us. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right. Let's see what we can do here. You ready? Here we go. Number one. I like me better naked. Is that a problem for you? I hope that doesn't go on the inappropriate reel. Okay. Number two, a naked guy with a gun. Do you expect anyone to believe that? Number three, I'm sick and tired of people pointing rifles at me. You hear?
What do you think, Glenn?
I don't know. I'm just going to take a guess and say two.
Two is a naked guy with a gun. Do you expect anyone to believe that?
I think that's the one I would
you
pick,
like
too.
That?
It's definitely not three.
I'm going with two. It might be unanimous.
All right, we all say two? A naked guy with a gun? All right, let's hear it.
A naked guy with a gun? You expect anyone to believe that?
Oh, you guys are good.
Oh, man.
Wow, I can't even fool Roger. I must be slipping up. So.
You must.
So we are so happy, Glenn, to give you two tickets to Stephen Sondheim's musical Company. It's playing right now through June 3rd at Mercury Theater Chicago. It's in their new Venus Cabaret stage. It is so fun and is so great and it's such an intimate experience. I hope that you enjoy it. You can check it out at mercurytheaterchicago.com.
All right, thank you.
Good. Enjoy
thanks,
the show,
Glenn.
And thanks for calling.
All right, it's time now for the Green Hornet. You know, here's the thing about the Green Hornet, Lisa.
Yeah.
He was Britt Reed, really.
I mean,
he dressed up as the Green Hornet, and he was a millionaire publisher of the Daily Sentinel newspaper, and this put him in a position to learn facts about criminals that only the police had access, and he was armed with a gas gun that rendered foes momentarily unconscious. He had a sleek black automobile called the Black Beauty. And then he donned the guise of the Green Hornet. Now, he sort of masqueraded as a vigilante. You know, he was sort of like wanted the police and everybody to think he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a bad guy. He was doing that so he could gain the trust of other bad guys and things. It's an interesting series. For a while, it was on television. I think one season it was on TV with Van Williams as the Green Hornet. And you know who was Kato?
Who?
Bruce Lee.
Oh,
Bruce Lee was Kato
when
on
that.
When was
that on? Do you remember?
60s.
Yeah, 60s.
1960s, yeah. And it was on radio for a very long time. It started in 1936 and ran to the 50s. We have an episode for you now called The Underwater Adventure. This stars Robert Hall, and it's from September 14th, 1946. Part one now of The Green Hornet.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful bullet Kato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in the thrilling story, Underwater Adventure. The Green Hornet strikes again. The bright moonlight was reflected on the smooth waters of the bay and also in the gleaming black finish of the long, sleek car which sped along the shore road. It was in the small hours of the morning when traffic was negligible, and the powerful car had nothing to impede its progress as it moved like a speeding shadow on the broad, ribbon-like highway. Behind the wheel was a sinister and startling figure, for the Green Hornet was once again on a mission in his super-powered Black Beauty. The masked figure spoke to the man beside him.
Keto, that salvage scow ought to be around the next bend of the shoreline.
How you know they not leave watchmen to guard diving equipment, Mr. Britt?
They probably have left someone to guard it, Keto. But he won't be looking for a visit from the Green Hornet. And so far as they know, everybody believes they're a legitimate salvage company.
How we get out to scow?
There's one of those small rubber wraps back in the luggage compartment with a small cylinder of gas to inflate it.
Oh, I not know you put it there.
We'll paddle out, board the scow, and then hope for the best. Oh, there it is now. We'll swing off the road and drive toward the shore. Then the fun will begin. Lucky we've had moonlight bright enough so we didn't have to use our lights.
Yes, sir, that's good. Guard not see car moving toward shore.
Come on, Keto. We'll get the raft out of the luggage compartment. And remember, voices and sounds carry over water, so go easy.
Yes, sir. I be careful.
We'll carry it near the water and then open the valve.
It's not very heavy.
There. Now turn on the valve.
Yes, sir. Oh, it's getting up fast.
Yes, quite an invention. All right, let's get it to the water.
It's ready. Yes.
A small paddle stuck in the side there. Oh, wait a second. Better smear some mud on your face in case we run into trouble.
All right. I hope we get some scar before anyone see us. It not good if bullet hit rubber raft, maybe.
We'll worry about that when it happens. Okay, let's start paddling. We're alongside now. I don't see anyone.
We climb onto the scow now?
Yes. Come on.
You see anyone?
Not yet. Give me your hand.
It looked like everything quiet.
We'll take no chances. Come on. We'll look inside that small cabin.
You keep gas gun ready?
Yes. I'll probably have to use it. The door's partly open.
Guard lying on bunk.
Wait here.
Hey, who's that?
Too bad you woke up, fella.
The Hornet. I reached my gun.
What, you won't reach it? Take this.
Yes.
Help me put him back on the bunk.
Looked like he only person on scow.
Yes.
There. We'll enjoy a good sleep for a few hours. Now let's get to work. Come on. Diving equipment must be under that tarpaulin.
What you plan to do? Destroy equipment?
Are you kidding? I'm going to put on the diving suit and go down while you pump the air to me.
That's dangerous.
So what? Come on. Help me get the cover off. Yeah, it's all here.
But I don't understand, Mr. Britt. Why you want to go down into water in diving suit? You not tell me why we come here.
While you help me into this diving suit, Katie will tell you why we came here. A little over a week ago, we had a press release from City Hall saying the city was contracting to have the bottom of the bay in the canvas out this way inspected for debris resulting from the war. You know, such as wreckage, sunken mines, and so forth. And this afternoon, I was in my office when Mike Axford came in and mentioned the fact that work had begun.
And we were driving along the shore road out along the bay when we saw one of them boats they do deep-sea diving from. Cause it didn't look like much of an outfit to me. The one that's doing the work, that is.
What do you mean? The salvage company mentioned by the city in that release is one of the best, with up-to-date equipment.
The dirty-looking old scow they're using up there in that cove looks like a good blow would put it under. But I guess they know their business.
Just where are they working, actually?
Well, now, let's see. Oh, yeah. Remember that daring hold-up about a year ago when Spike Gorlitz and two others used tear gas bombs to snatch a strong box containing about a quarter of a million in cash?
Yes, I remember that. They grabbed it as it was being taken from the truck into the bank.
Sure, that's the job I mean. Well, Spike and the others were trailed to a cove up the bay. The car they'd used was there on the shore, and they'd set out in the motorboat.
Oh, yes. They were caught after a running battle with a police boat.
Yep. Except that Spike was said to have been shot as he dived into the bay to make a getaway. The cops looked for his body, but couldn't find it. And they never did get the strong box full of dough, either. Both the other thugs went to the chair for killing one of the guards in that holdup.
Yes, I recall the whole case now. So it's in that cove that the salvage company's working, eh?
That's right. Funny thing, too. Just yesterday, I ran into the head of the city council, Mr. Burbank. And I asked him when they were going to get started on that work. I guess he gave me a bum steer on purpose.
What do you mean, bum steer?
Well, he glared at me. Then says the contract called for starting the work in a month. And the city was lucky to get them at it even that soon. He said us newspaper guys are always wanting to rush things and do the impossible. Then, later that day, I saw that the work had been started. That was yesterday. So I figured Burbank gave me a bum steer on purpose.
Yes, maybe he did it that.
Yes, I'll run along to cops headquarters. I'll be getting in touch with you later, Reed.
After Ashford left, I began putting two and two together. I checked with the city hall and found the work was not begun. So I decided this outfit's a phony, and probably here hunting for that strongbox.
Oh, so that it. The Green Hornet come here to find out his strongbox on bottom of bay and cove.
Yes. There. Now you can help me with the headgear. Then it's up to you to keep the pump going so I'll have air. I hope their intercommunication system works so I can talk to you from below.
It looked like it in good condition. Now I put headpiece on suit, then you'll be ready to submerge.
Working with careful haste, Cato and Brett adjusted the heavy headgear. Then, as Rick Reed slid over the side and sank into the water, Cato manned the pump. By means of earphones and mouthpiece, similar to those worn by telephone operators, Cato was in speaking contact with Britt.
You all right, Mr. Britt?
So far, everything's okay. I'm using the underwater light, but haven't reached bottom yet.
Mr. Britt? Mr. Britt?
What's the matter?
Somebody leaving shore of Cove in motorboat.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir. I hear boat plainly. What we do, though not much time. We must do something.
While still operating the air pump, Cato reached over and pushed a lever which started an electric wrench. Then he watched hopefully as the taut line gradually began to pull Rick Reed to the top. Meanwhile, in the approaching motorboat, two rough-looking men strained their eyes toward the moonlit deck of the Skull.
Yeah, you see anyone, Spike?
Yeah. Looks like someone near the pump. Cut the motor off a second. See if we can tell if the pump's still working.
Okay.
Weird, Bill?
Yeah. Still going.
Good. It means whoever's snooping around there is still below. We'll get there before you can get topside.
Sure. And the guy at the pump won't dare stop pumping unless he wants his pal to die.
Start the motor up again.
Right.
We come up to the scow on the offside. Then if the lug at the pump decides to take a shot at us, you won't have a chance.
See, if you want me to, Spike, I'll pick him off with a bullet when we get a little closer. That is, close enough for me to spot him.
Yeah, why bother? We get him anyway. He can't leave the pump like you said a minute ago.
Yeah, we're getting there, Spike, and the pump's still going.
Well, slow down before we ram into the scow.
I'm heading for where that rope hangs over the side, Spike. And when I cut the motor off, you grab it.
Yeah. You better cut it off now.
Got the rope.
Now, come on, we'll go aboard. Have your rod handy.
Okay, I'm ready. You go ahead.
Right. Come on, Bill.
We'll tie this line. All right, coming.
There. Now, listen. The pump's still going. That means whoever went down to snoop is still underwater in the diver's suit.
Yeah. The other guy must know we're here, but he can't do nothing.
Let's go forward and get things settled. Come on. All right, you. You can stop pumping now.
No. If I stop, air not get into diver suit.
Well, now, ain't that too bad, Spud? If he stops, his friend won't get any air.
Oh, wait a minute. Go on. Keep on pumping. I got another idea.
Hey, you must have heard us coming. How come he didn't start the winch going? Try to get your friend out of the water.
Never mind that, Bill. Dirty face don't look too bright anyway. Maybe that's why.
What you do now?
And before I answer that question, I want to ask you one.
Come on, Spike. We're wasting time. Let's get this over with.
Ah, wait a minute, Bill. All right, you. Now tell me, who went down in that diving suit and why'd he go?
It's better I not tell you. What?
Well, listen to him.
Look, you. You'll tell me, all right. But if you don't, I just make you stop pumping and leave your friend where he is.
If I tell you, then you help get him up, perhaps?
Sure, we'll help you get him up. Won't we, Bill?
Oh, that's right. If you say we will, Spike, then he can count on it.
Well, I tell you, man who was down in diving suit, he is Green Hornet.
Hey, what's that you said?
You said the Green Hornet. Well, what do you know? This is
luck. Now, look, Spike, we can't help him bring the Green Hornet up. He's too slick. Why not just let him stay below and make this guy stop pumping air to him?
No, you not do that.
Oh, don't worry. Keep on pumping.
But, Spike,
don't worry, Bill. Pumping won't do any good in a minute.
What you do with knife?
Yeah, Spike, what are you going to do?
Just this.
No, you not cut airline.
Oh, yeah?
Watch.
Oh, yeah, did it? Now, even the Green Hornet couldn't save himself now.
We'll continue our Green Hornet adventure in just a moment.
Gosh, I hate when they do my job.
Right.
When these announcers on these classic radio shows do what I'm supposed to do. I was supposed to say more from the Green Hornet.
Well, then we're just going to get it twice tonight.
All right. Well, that is the first portion of the underwater adventure from 1946 on the Green Hornet. More after these words. Do you have a space heater up there?
No, we do not.
Oh.
Well, why, you need one? Oh, my gosh. Is it freezing down there again?
It's just Carl.
It's like igloo in this studio.
It's just Carl.
Well, but he's not like 90 years old yet.
It is. Seriously. An igloo is warmer.
I feel like he just has to complain about something. That's tonight.
Actually, I went down there last night.
Yeah.
And it was nippy.
If you would sit
here. Nippy.
You know, let me tell you where I'm sitting.
It's boiling up here.
No, the air blows right here, right where my legs are.
He has a jacket across
his
lap.
You got your shorts on again?
And sandals.
I'm wearing my what do you call
your beachcomber shorts?
No, what
flip flops.
What are those bathing suits? Those
speedos.
I'm wearing a speedo
good Lord,
right
now. Please don't stand up.
I think we should take a selfie.
It's white.
I'm going to take a selfie in my speedo and then we'll post it.
It's a white speedo. I'm sure we'd like to see it.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back from the news, it's more of the Green Hornet and then Box 13. You like that show, right? With Alan Ladd, good detective kind of mystery.
I love a good detective.
Yeah, and we're broadcasting on Mother's Day here. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
So what are you doing on Mother's Day?
Well, I don't know exactly.
What?
Well, we're going to my mother-in-law's for brunch.
Okay.
And then I don't know what's happening.
Your mother-in-law?
Mm-hmm.
You going over there for brunch?
Mm-hmm.
Her house or you're
yes,
going out?
Yes, her house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I don't know exactly, but I'm just ready to be pampered.
My brother and my sister and I, and I think my sister's daughter, we're all going over to my sister's house because my mom's over there.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to see my mom.
I say that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
My mom is on vacation at the moment.
Your mom is on vacation?
She is.
Yes,
Alice Faye.
Where are they?
They're Florida? In Arizona.
Oh, Arizona.
Yeah.
World travelers.
Yes,
they're always traveling.
They do.
That's
but they'll
great.
Be back soon.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're listening to the Green Hornet. This is called The Underwater Adventure, and it's from September 14th, 1946, starring Robert Hall. Here's the conclusion of the Green Hornet.
Spike, Bill, and Cato stood watching the bubbles appear on the surface of the water where the severed air hose had sunk. Then Spike turned to Cato and spoke.
Now, you sneaking rat, we settle with you. And your pal, the Green Hornet, won't ever show up again to help you out.
Oh, I don't know about that, Spike, Gorlick.
Hey, what the...
Don't move, you're both covered.
Holy mackerel, Spike, it's a hornet. Well, it can't be. That mug said the hornet was in the diving
suit. That's a trick. The guy lied to us.
No, he didn't lie to you. You asked him who had gone down in the diving suit. He told you the truth when he said the Green Hornet had.
Then how did you get here?
My friend here heard you putting out from shore. By fast work, I managed to get up on deck and out of the suit. Then we sent the empty suit down again, and he continued to pump air to fool you. Which gave me a chance to get the drop on.
Yes, and now diving suit not be of use to you any longer.
Well, what do you intend to do now, Hornet?
Look, girl, it's... The police think you're dead, but as I see it, you escaped. And knowing the hiding place of the stolen bank money, you came here to find it.
So what? The cops did plug me with a bullet when I went over the side in that fight, but it wasn't serious. And I'm a darn good swimmer, see? I swam underwater till I was far enough away. Then I managed to get to shore. But if you think I'm going to let you spoil everything without putting up a fight right
Maybe
now...
Maybe I don't intend to spoil things for you, Spike.
What do you mean?
I know there's a fortune below. If you'd found it, you wouldn't still be here, right?
Go on.
Well, let's work together. There's enough for all of us down there.
Now, take it easy, Spike. Don't trust this mug.
I just stood by and watched you as you thought you were taking my life. Now, I'm in a position to take yours. I'm giving you a chance, if you want to take it.
All right, Hornet. We'll play along.
Good.
What are we going to use for a diving suit, Spike? The only one we had's at the bottom of the bay now.
Tell you what, Hornet. If you want to share what's down there, it's up to you to get another diving suit.
Well, that isn't going to be easy.
Yeah, for the Green Hornet it ought to be. You can grab one from the warehouse of the Ace Salvage Company at the foot of 3rd Street in town. They keep them stored in a room at the back facing the water.
Okay, I'll make a try for one. Then we'll meet you here tomorrow night on this scow.
It's a deal. Come on, we'll take you over to shore in the motorboat. And be sure you get that diving suit or we'll all be out of luck. Let's get going.
Later, Britt and Cato were back in their apartment, talking over the events of the evening.
Mr. Britt, you really mean to go through with the deal you make with Spike Gorlitz?
Right up to a certain point, Cato. Gorlitz is the only one who can readily locate that strong box. What I want to do is to make sure he does locate it, then act.
But they killers. There'll be three of them. You not forget the man we put out with gas gun.
No, I haven't forgotten. I'll be ready for any trouble.
You plan to steal a diving suit?
Yes. And that will be where the trail will start for the police to follow.
But if we go on scout, too, and police come, the danger that they trap Hornet along with Gorlitz and pals.
I'll have to take that chance. We'll go out tomorrow night and hope for the best.
The following evening, Britt and Cato were ready to carry out their plans.
We go directly to the warehouse from here, Mr. Britt?
Yes. Then after we get the suit, if we do get it, we'll give the police our trail to follow out to the scow. But it must be done so it doesn't look like a double cross. Otherwise, Spike will get suspicious and will refuse to go down in the suit. Come on, let's get started.
Stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in the bedroom, Britt Reed and Cato went along a narrow passageway built within the walls of the apartment itself. This passage led to an adjoining building which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness. Arriving at the waterfront, Britt found the back part of the warehouse deserted. Taking Cato with him, he found it fairly simple matter by means of certain small instruments he always carried, which would open any door or window to effect an entrance. Taking one of the diving suits, he and Cato made their way back to the Black Beauty, parked in the shadows alongside the warehouse.
Here we are, Cato. Open the luggage compartment.
Yes, sir. It opened.
All right, in with it. We'll drive out along the bay to the cove where Spike is to meet us with a boat. But on the road, just this side of the cove, I noticed a gas station. You can phone the police from there. That'll give us time to get Spike down in the diving suit.
It could nobody...
Oh, step, I say! Hey,
warehouse guard.
Get going, Cato. Since that guard saw us leaving, it may interfere with our plans, Cato.
How you mean?
The police will be on the lookout now, and it may not give us time to get to the scow as we planned. Especially if they spot us and follow.
Will that not be good? Spike and friends find out police follow, they leave in hurry.
Yes, that's what I don't want. Spike is an escaped killer. I want the police to get him.
We hope police not get on trail of Hornet too soon, then.
Yes. Well, so far we've been lucky. Step on it. We'll soon be on the shore road.
Meantime, on the outskirts of the city, a patrol car waited at a crossroad.
Well, expert, we're on the hunt for that scalping the Hornet again. That warehouse guard said he was headed this way.
Say, Sarge, wonder why the Hornet would want to steal a diving suit. That's a new one on me.
No telling, Mike. That guy's liable to steal anything, to my way of thinking. But you can bet your bottom dollar he had a good reason for doing it, and a reason that spells trouble for the police force.
Lucky we were out this way in that other car when you heard that radio warning. Maybe we're in time to head him off.
That's what I'm hoping to do.
Here comes a car heading for the shore road. And it's sure moving fast, Sarge.
Yeah, but if it's just another speedster, he's in luck. Because we ain't going to waste time following him.
Hey, look at him come.
Yeah, I have a good mind to...
Holy crow, that's him. That's the Hornet.
So it is. Get going, Cassidy. Step on it and don't let him out of your sight.
Yep.
That looked like police car waiting at crossroad, Mr. Britt.
You're right, Cato. They're following us. Spike hears that siren. He'll skip and we'll never find him. Slide over here and let me take the wheel.
Yes, sir.
Be careful. Easy now.
What you plan to do?
I'll turn inland at the next road and try to lose him. There's a road just up ahead.
Will you smoke screen, perhaps?
Not yet. I want the police to get far enough away from the shore road so they won't spoil things. Then we'll use the smoke screen. Here's the turn.
Driving far inland, Britt led the police away from the shore road. Then, using the smoke screen and the Black Beauty, he managed to get a good lead on them. Still at high speed, he doubled around until he had again reached the shore road. Within a short time, he reached the cove where they were to meet Spike Gorlitz.
I'll have to move fast. I want to get the diving suit and the Spike's boat before the police show up. They're bound to come this way soon. Come on.
Here comes Spike and friend.
Well, Hornet... Get what you went after?
Of course, sir. It's in the back of the car. There it is. Better than the one you had, too.
Help me with this, Bill.
Sure.
I'll carry it to the motorboat. Come on, Hornet. Here we are. I laid into the boat, Bill.
Right.
There. Okay, Hornet. You and your helper can get in now.
Hey, listen, the cops.
Hey, they must have followed the Green Hornet.
You better scram and
yeah,
fast.
Yeah, come on.
Wait a minute, Spike. You're not going anyplace.
Hey, look, the guy's got a gun. He must be nuts.
Hey, what's the idea? The cops are after you, too.
I'm taking that chance.
All right, rush him, Bill.
I expected this.
I'll get this money.
I think not.
Oh!
Hey, knock Bill out. Let's scram, Hornet. I'll make a good deal with you.
Take this, Keller.
Yes. Yes,
God. We leave quick, or they find Black Beauty.
Come on, hurry.
Come on, Cassidy. There's the motorboat.
Yeah. And the moon's bright enough to show two guys laying on the ground.
Wait up for me!
Come on!
Hey, Sarge, the Hornet. He's leaving.
Come on, follow.
We got something here we can lay our hands on. Let's have a look.
Suffering snakes. Two guys stretched out cold.
Let me put my light on them. Great day, look there.
What are you great daying about?
That mug is Spike Gorlitz.
Are you sure? I thought he was dead.
Well, he ain't. That's him right there.
Hey, Sarge. Look here in the motorboat.
Well, what do you know? A diving suit. Must be the one the Hornet stole tonight.
Wonder what they'd want that for.
For diving, no doubt. Look out there, a salvage scout.
I know. Burbank at the city council told me they hadn't started work yet.
But I saw that scow there, so I knew
there was... Hold on, Ashford. I know the city hasn't started that work yet. There's only one answer. Spike Gollitz dumped that strong box of money in the bay when they were making their getaway. He's come back to find it.
Say, I'll bet you're right at that, Sad.
You're darn tootin' I'm right. We'll get divers to work right away until they get that money. It'll be a feather in the cap for the police. Getting back the bank money and catching Spike Gollitz.
That's right, Sarge. I give you credit.
Well, maybe we didn't get the Green Hornet. But by chasing him, we got these killers. A chance to get the dough for the bank. Let's get them back to town. I'll radio Harbor Police to raid that scow in case there's others out there.
At least the Green Hornet didn't get his hands on that dough. And wait till he hears me caught his pals.
Don't be stupid, Mike. Didn't he leave them here for us? By gassing him? He's hard to figure out, that Hornet. But believe you me, he's nobody's fool. You can bet on that.
Were really on their toes in the Green Hornet adventure you have just heard. And to be assured of an efficient police force in any city, it's up to the people to vote for the right officials who are to head their city government. When you vote, make sure of the candidate first. These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit, and all characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious.
You know, that's the Green Hornet, Lisa, from September 14th, 1946, The Underwater Adventure with Robert Hall. And you heard the announcer at the end of that talk about how this program originated from the studios of WXYZ in Detroit. Now, and they did. But these were broadcast, Lisa, from a house. There was like this big, giant mansion, okay, that George Trendle... And I'm trying to think of the other guy. It was Trendle and Rather. They built this house, giant house, and they did three radio shows from it every single week. Some of them were on multiple times a week. They did The Green Hornet, The Lone Ranger, and Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. These were the three shows created by these guys. And they decided, you know what? Why go pay for a studio, something like that? Let's just build this huge house.
Let's stay home in our pajamas and do
exactly.
it that way.
And then the actors came to this house, and they would broadcast right to Mutual. You know, they had some kind of a line directly to the Mutual broadcasting system, and they did it all out of a house.
I wonder what they were wearing.
Not a Speedo.
No.
I don't think a Speedo.
I mean, we wouldn't know, though, one way or the other.
Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater.
So, Carl, where will you be this Friday
I'll
at 10
right
a.m.?
Here.
Well, not at this desk exactly.
Pioneer Street.
Pioneer Court.
Whatever.
So
Street,
close.
Court, Boulevard.
So this Friday.
Lane, Run.
Yeah, exactly.
Lane.
All of those.
Did I say Lane?
Pioneer Lane. That's where okay. he's going to be. You can join the WGN Radio Walk of Fame ceremony and live broadcast. It's this Friday, May 18th, beginning at 10 a.m. outside at Pioneer
Court.
Thank you.
But Carl calls it street because he'll be driving.
I should remember.
He'll drive right up the lane.
Right
I should remember
it.
Because I'm in court a lot.
I bet you are. So, you know
he
what?
He brings a ladder and he goes to a higher court. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. Roger, will you be there?
He gets dressed up because he brings a suit to court. What?
Will you be there?
What day is it again?
It's this Friday.
This Friday. Unfortunately, I have not been able to...
Come on.
Because I work Friday night.
Come on.
That's
this is Friday morning.
That's when I'm sleeping.
We have to be here Saturday and Sunday till...
I'm here Friday nights. I get
this
in
This is
at
Friday
night.
Morning. morning. That's not the same
Friday
thing.
Friday morning?
It's Friday at 10 a.m.
Doing at 10 a.m.
Children,
on Friday morning?
Listen, children.
I don't want to know. You're going to be right here.
We're already 2 minutes past.
Okay,
we're
past the news. Just so you know.
Are you going to pick me up?
Sure. Our listeners can join us to congratulate this fifth class of honorees, and they can come to the Tribune Tower this Friday with Roger and me and Carl, May 18th, or they can listen live beginning at 10 a.m. So I hope you'll be there to support us. I will be there. Roger, we're going to have to encourage him a little bit.
All right.
I'm a work in progress.
I know.
I'm trying to keep us on the clock here.
Yes, we're on the clock.
Well, you're not doing a good job.
Yeah, he is.
All right, so when we come back from the news, we have Box 13 starring Alan Ladd. You won't want to miss that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Thanks, Roger. It is 1:09 in the morning. It is our...
Three.
Gosh, it's three. Hour three already.
One, two, three.
Yeah. So thanks for staying up late with us in this hour. It is Box 13, a good sort of newspaper detective drama, a little bit like Night Beat. Alan Ladd starred in this radio series. He also produced this series through his Mayfair Productions, which was a radio production company that he owned and created. So that's coming your way in just a few minutes. But first, it's Crack the Quote.
Crack the Quote.
Sponsored by Cat's Pride. What's the movie?
The movie is For a Few Dollars More.
Ooh, yeah. Clint Eastwood movie.
1965.
So I just want to remind Roger and you that I have been right on both so far.
You have.
Really? Oh, my.
Yeah. I'm like on
a
streak.
You have too, Roger.
No, well, Roger wasn't here at the
first. Oh, you did one, but that's...
Yeah, so I don't qualify.
Well, you're right on all of them that you participated
okay,
in this
fine.
Evening.
I'm on a streak. I got
you're
all of them.
You're on a
streak.
And did you get all three last week?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
For a few dollars more, huh?
For a few dollars more.
Okay. Call us now, folks. 312-981-7200. What do they win?
Twilight Zone 4 CD sets.
All right. Call right now. Play Crack the Quote with us. 312-981-7200. We'll be right back. We want caller 3.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
There's another dollar to
write. Roger loves just hearing Cha-ching. That. Don't you love that? I know it. We've got Pat on the phone. Hey. Hey, Pat.
Yes.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. Happy to have you playing on the phone with us. You know the movie For a Few Dollars More?
Yes, I do.
All right. Here we go. Quote number one. This time you'll have a chance to shoot me, but not in the back. Number two, shoot, coward. You are only going to kill a man. Number three, shoot me again. You best pray I'm dead. Tough one, I think. I'm not sure.
I know it.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's give Pat a chance.
I'll say number three.
You like three. Shoot me again. You best pray I'm dead. You don't like that one?
Nope.
All right. Let's see what Roger thinks.
Yeah, I think it's number one.
Yep.
You like number one?
Yeah.
This time you'll have a chance to shoot me, but not in the back.
Yep.
All right. Let's hear it.
This time you'll have a chance to shoot me, but not in the back.
Ooh, you guys are good. Pat, it doesn't matter. You're still a winner either way. Normally, I wouldn't listen to Carl, but... Wow, you guys.
3 for 3.
That's really good. It doesn't matter. Pat wins, right, Pat?
Yes, he does.
Yes.
You're going to get the Twilight Zone 4 CD set. You've got hours of fun and enjoyment. So thank you for playing the game, and we hope you love your prize.
Way to go, Pat.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thanks, my friend. Yeah, 3 for 3.
Yeah, good job. And Roger, 100% record for the evening.
Well, you know, I got a lot of catching up to do.
Yes, you do.
Carl set the bar high.
Oh, very.
I was at the bar earlier today.
I could tell. You actually were.
Oh, my gosh.
That's funny.
All right. So, hey, Roger, you ready for some Box 13?
Yes, I am.
Do you like this show? Have you listened to it before?
I've heard one episode,
well,
I think.
Yeah, it was a mystery.
I think it was on the one of the... the CDs that you...
It could be.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this was a mystery adventure show. It starred Alan Ladd. He played Dan Halliday, a retired newspaper man turned fiction writer. And to gain ideas for his books, he ran an ad in the Star-Times newspaper that read, "Adventure Wanted, We'll Go Anywhere, Do Anything, Write Box 13." And then... of course, all kinds of people would write to him. They would want help you know, sure. on certain things. Like with me, it'd be like, please help me because my co-host is so mean to me all the time.
Yeah, well, I thought it was because you couldn't reach the bar.
Please help me. Yeah, I stood on a bar stool and then I was able to reach the bar.
I'm pretty hard on him though, aren't I, Roger?
Yeah. You're evil, wicked, mean, bad master. Tough. Yeah.
And then he had a sort of a scatterbrained secretary named Susie, played by Sylvia Picker. And as I said earlier, this was produced by Alan Ladd's own company, Mayfair Productions. He also produced the Damon Runyon Theater. Which is another really cool show.
Yeah,
and he also he starred in the series. He also wrote some of the scripts. It was really like an Alan Ladd production.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a great episode now from October 31st, 1948. This is called Suicide or Murder.
Ooh.
And a woman asks Dan Holliday to look into the death of her son, who was killed in a drunken brawl. So it's kind of a little bit of a Mother's Day kind of a twist there.
Kind of.
The mom wants to know who killed her son. All right, let's go back now. Tune it in. Part one of Box 13.
Box 13. With the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13, care of Star Times. They said my son was killed in a drunken brawl. I know he wasn't. He was a good boy. He was murdered. Why, I don't know. If you come to 733 Winsham Avenue...
If you'll come to 733 Winship Avenue any time and listen to my story, I'll be grateful to you forever, Mrs. Catherine Daly. And that was the letter to Box 13. Just a few lines. But, brother, what those few lines led to.
And now, back to Box 13.
I get some funny letters through Box 13. Some don't mean a thing. Others are from people who answer all the ads. But this one from Mrs. Catherine Daly, it had a real ring to it. I get so I can spot the letters from cranks and curiosity hunters. They're full of big phrases. It's the simple ones that count, like Susie said.
Well, it's short, Mr. Holliday.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, what would you do, Susie?
Well...
You know, Susie, I don't know how you managed to get right to the point of things so quickly.
Oh, it's easy.
Mm. Okay, you talked me into it. I don't know what I'd do without you.
I try to make myself indispensable.
The word, Susie, is indispensable.
What's the difference?
None, I guess. All right, Susie, I'm on my way to 733 Winship Avenue. Mrs. Catherine Daly was a little woman, maybe about 50, 60. It was difficult to tell because gray hair was pushing hard against the brown. It was her eyes that got me. Maybe not too long ago they'd been able to smile. But now they were dead. Lifeless. Something had been taken away from inside. She led the way to a little living room, furnished cheaply but neatly. She sat down, pointed to a chair for me, and then...
Are you serious about that advertisement, Mr. Holliday?
Well, yes, I am, Mrs. Daly.
I haven't any money. That is, not much. I can afford something, if it's not a whole lot.
Oh, now, look, Mrs. Daly, I'm a writer, and sometimes Box 13 leads me to a good plot. You see, I don't take money because I get paid very well for the stories I get. You see, I used to be a newspaper reporter... And...
Newspaper reporter?
Anything wrong with that, Miss Daly?
Arthur, my son, he was a reporter.
Oh? What paper?
The Evening Record.
Your letter said that your son was killed.
He was. They said he was drunk, that he got into a fight in a cheap saloon. Arthur was never drunk in his life, and he hated fighting.
That his picture on the table?
Yes.
In uniform. That's the Distinguished Service Cross, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, Mrs. Daly, start from the beginning. Tell me how you want me to help.
I'm sure Arthur was murdered.
Murder's a tough word, Mrs. Daly. Tough to say and tough to prove.
But for a week before he was killed, he
He kept telling me that we could get out of this house soon, that he was going to make a name as a reporter.
But he didn't tell you why?
No. Then, the night he was killed, he got a phone call.
From whom?
I don't know. He hurried out, and the next time I saw him was when they asked me to come down and identify him.
That's as much as you can tell me.
It's every word.
Mrs. Daly, this may sound brutal, but your son's dead now. Why would you rather have it said he was murdered?
I want to show everyone he couldn't have died in that cheap, shoddy way.
Well, that was that. I believed her. Maybe it was the way she talked. Maybe it was her eyes. I don't know. Anyway, I left her house with nothing to go on but what she had told me, and that was little enough. Just that he was on to something would make a name for him as a reporter. Anyway, I went to see what Lieutenant Kling knew about it.
About what, Harvey?
About the kid that got killed in the saloon brawl.
Well, that's what the records show.
They show anything else?
No, they don't.
You know, I like you.
Thanks. You can have the next dance.
I'm serious.
Okay, so you're serious. What about?
You're not satisfied with the Daly case either.
What makes you think I'm not?
Just the way you talk. You don't believe it's right.
I believe what the witnesses in that dive said. The Daly kid got drunk. Somebody said something to the girl he was with. Nothing bad, but Daly got mad and started swinging.
And
he ended up in the red.
You didn't arrest anybody?
Look, we get a dozen calls a night from down at the hill places like that. Somebody's always getting pushed around, roughed up, killed. Some of the things don't even hit the newspapers. Run-of-the-mill stuff.
Sure. But look, Kling, what kind of guys get killed in places like that? Bums, winos, characters who hang out in those joints. But not a kid like Daly. And you're an honest cop.
What was that crack for?
For a compliment. The Daly thing bothers you because you know as well as I do that something's wrong about it.
Then you tell me.
I'll try. Later.
Now look, Holiday, I'm not on the case anymore. Homicide's got enough to do without running down a fight in a saloon. But what? I don't like it, you're right.
I knew I liked you.
Okay, I'll marry you in the morning. The place you want is 183 River Street.
Oh, nice neighborhood.
Great. The cops go in quartets down there.
Thanks. See you later.
And for the love of Mike, don't end up on the meat wagon like Daly did.
Kling was right. It wasn't a neighborhood to raise kids or anything else. And the place I wanted was called the Riverview. Fancy name. Oh, a great place. I stepped over a couple of boarders spending the night on the doorstep and walked inside. There was a tinny piano played by a guy mechanically banging out a tune that its own composer wouldn't have recognized. The bar was set at the back facing the door. I went over to it. The bartender took a long, good look at me. I must have looked strange. I was wearing a necktie and a shirt. He walked over.
Yeah? What's with, bud?
How are you?
Awful. You?
Practically dead.
Okay. Now that we know each other, what's on your mind?
What do you got to drink?
Arsenic. Want some?
Straight. Water on the side.
Funny man, ain't you?
Sure.
Look, what do you want?
A drink, maybe?
No, you don't. That suit you got on cost maybe $150. The tie, $5. Any cookie comes in here dressed like you don't want a drink.
All right. You win.
Swell. Slumming, huh?
No, looking.
For what?
Last week there was a fight in here. A kid got killed. Arthur Daly.
I didn't see nothing. My back was turned.
Did you ever see the girl who was with Daly?
I told you, I didn't see nothing.
Oh. All through the fight, you just kept your back turned.
Yeah, I hate fights. Can't stand the sight of blood.
That what you told the police?
Same thing.
Who were the witnesses?
Look, when a fight starts in here, there ain't no witnesses. Everybody's blind.
That makes it easy.
You a friend of this Daly character?
Yeah, a good friend.
Uh-huh. I still don't know nothing. Now blow, mister. Out. Get it out.
knew something, all right. But he was clammed up tight. I left and walked up the street. I was close to the spot where I'd parked my car when I heard something. I stopped. Somebody was tailing me, following me from the saloon. Okay, somebody didn't like me nosing around. I walked past my car. Just ahead of me was an alley, and pulling out of the alley was a truck. I walked a little faster. I got to the alley, skirted around back of the truck so that my trailer would lose me for a couple of seconds. Then I stepped inside a doorway. It was dark. The truck pulled away. I waited. Then I heard the steps. He didn't know where I'd gone. But if he was going to pick me up again, he'd have to pass the doorway where I waited for him.
Oh, let go, you hurt me.
Shut up.
Oh, please, mister, I ain't no crook. I wasn't going to put this thing on you.
Glad you're tailing me.
I heard you talking to barkeep back there. I wanted to talk to you, honest, that's all.
You should have caught up with me before this.
Gee, mister, I didn't want anybody to see me, honest.
All right, talk.
Oh, you want to know something, huh?
Come on. What do you want to say?
Well, honest, I might get in trouble. Look, I got to know I'll get something out of this, eh?
So what you've got, and we'll see how much it's worth.
Maybe a fiver?
Maybe. Go on, talk.
Look, I could get in bad trouble.
You are right now.
All right. Make it a fiver.
What do you know about Arthur Daly?
I saw the fight. I saw the whole thing.
Did you tell the police?
Me? I don't get nothing to do with the cops.
All right, tell me.
This guy that was bumped, he didn't start the fight.
Who did?
A pug. Ex-pug named Billy Connor. The Daly guy didn't have nothing to do with starting it. It was a frame.
Was Daly drunk?
No, he had one drink. The girl slipped something in it. I saw her. She was a good looker, so I was watching her.
Do you know her?
Me? Me know a dame like that? Nah.
All right, well, here's your five. Now, keep your mouth shut, understand?
Oh, sure. Maybe you'd like to know something else, huh?
What?
Well, mister, it ought to be worth something.
All right, here.
Oh, thanks. You ain't been out of the joint down the street more than a couple of seconds when a barkeep goes to the phone.
So?
I heard him tell somebody that you was nosing around. Mister, something tells me that you're in bad trouble right now.
That's some pretty dramatic music right there, Lisa.
This is a dramatic radio show, Carl.
Yeah, this is called Suicide or Murder on Box 13 from 1948. We'll get back to it after these words. If you hear my teeth chattering, because it is literally an igloo in this studio.
It actually is very cold.
This is the coldest it has ever been in this studio. I cannot believe
Roger
it,
thinks
Roger.
It's nippy.
I don't understand.
It's nippy.
Okay, why would they have the air conditioning on? Please, could you just tell me that?
Because it's not winter anymore?
Why would the air conditioning be on in
here?
Well,
it's like 40 degrees and raining outside, so yeah. I don't know.
God.
I
don't know.
No
it doesn't
idea.
Make sense.
Oh.
Hey, Carl, somebody said they think you played this show before on WGN, and I'm quite sure that you have not.
I've played Box 13,
yes,
but never this
episode.
Yes, we played
Box 13, not this episode.
All right,
so just so we're clear.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
You know that there was a movie about a guy that they found frozen in ice? That's going to be me.
Frozen in ice?
Yeah.
I'll get an ice pick and I will get you right out of there, Carl. I will save
what
you.
What was that movie? It was like the Iceman.
The Thing?
Yeah. The Iceman Cometh or something like that.
Oh, it's not the Iceman Cometh.
Gee,
I know
Christmas.
That.
But I will come with my ice pick. And
there
I will,
was a movie about these people that discovered a man in a block of
a
ice.
Comedy, and yeah. It was bunch of guys in California, and
yeah.
they found them when they were digging down to make a yeah. swimming
and they
pool.
Were, and they were like, you
it
know.
It was a goofy comedy.
Yeah.
That's yes. his kind of
that's
movie.
That's me. I'm the guy in
somebody's
the ice.
Somebody's going to text in and let me know.
You know what?
Like prehistoric man.
I have a microphone
like
with the WGN logo on it,
right.
and I'm in a block of ice, and that's going to be the guy who's running the boiler room down there.
You know, he'll find you when you melt?
No, that's it's going to be his... on his conscience.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Whoever's running the boiler room down there,
yeah,
he doesn't like me.
Maybe it's a she.
Because, well, he or she.
Okay.
Because there's
a computer.
There is no reason in the middle of, this is not summer, and it's not even spring
Encino
as far as I'm concerned.
Man. Encino,
Encino
Man.
Encino
Man. Thank you very much.
Encino Man. I am Encino Man.
You, yes, that's what we'll call you.
Like, totally.
I wonder if the person, the man or woman, the very nice person in the boiler room, I'm talking to you now, sir.
Or ma'am.
Or ma'am. It is freezing in here.
Weekend
please,
at Bernie's?
Please turn the air off in the WGN studio. Please. I beg of you.
Which studio? You have to be clear.
Showcase studio.
Exactly. I know what it's called.
I am begging you.
Yeah.
Begging you if you're listening. Thank you very much.
All right. Got that off your chest. Are you done
Isn't
now?
Is this job tough enough? I've got to also deal with the elements.
You've got,
to
got it tough
with the
here, Carl.
Freezing elements in the studio.
Well, there,
I'm
there's,
sorry, my
there's
heart
no
goes
rain
out
in
to you.
I know.
I'm warm and cozy.
He's
up here.
It's fine up here. Thanks, Roger.
I'm going to send him right out there.
You know,
there.
That's what I love about Roger. He's always so worried about us. And, right? He's
takes
always,
care of us.
He cares about us so
he
much.
He does. I can feel the love.
Thank you, Roger.
Are you
appreciate
sure?
your
Maybe
sympathy.
It's just something you had
appreciate
for dinner.
Your sympathy.
You're very welcome.
All right, let's get back now to Box 13.
And now, back to Box 13 with Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, I had a few facts now. First, Daly knew something that might have got him killed. Second, the girl who was with him put something in his drink so he'd look drunk. Third, an ex-pug named Billy Connor started the fight. Why? The answer to that would put me on first base. So I asked around a little and found out that Billy Connor, a third-rate fighter down at the heels, suddenly came into money, and right after the fight in the saloon. I found him in a second-rate nightclub.
You the guy that wants to see me?
If you're Billy Connor, I'm the guy.
Who are you?
Knowing that won't make any prettier.
Now you're a smart boy, huh?
Maybe. But you're not acting smart.
What? What are you talking about?
You're making too much splash, Connor. The boss doesn't like it. People might start asking questions about the money. The money you got for killing Daly.
Me? Oh, no. I just started the fight. Then I ducked. Somebody else banged his head for him, not me.
Ah. That's the way it was, huh?
Sure, you know. Who are you, anyway?
Forget it, Connor.
Wait a minute, fella. Why'd you say that's the way it was? Didn't you know?
Sure I knew.
You ain't from them.
From whom?
You dirty sneak. You a copper?
Maybe. Think it over, Connor. Hard. I left him standing there with his mouth open. I thought I'd found out what I wanted to know. But Kling told me...
Doesn't mean a thing. You can't prove anything, Holliday.
What if I get proof?
How?
You've got the name and address of the girl Daly was with the night he was killed.
And you want him, is that it? You could get hurt.
Meaning you won't give me the girl's name?
Meaning that if I do, you're on your own.
I'll take that chance. Do I get a name and address?
Eileen Simmons, 4674 Roberts Drive. And I hope you get more out of her than we did.
I hope so, too. I didn't like walking up a blind alley with murder at my back and maybe in front of me. I got to the girl's home, a boarding house in a shabby section, and took a look at the mailboxes downstairs. While I was walking up to her flat, something tingled the back of my neck. Something that screamed a warning. I got to her flat. She didn't answer. Then I smelled it. Gas. I stooped down and one look at the crack between the door and the sill was enough. It was stuffed with newspapers. There was only one thing to do. Eileen Simmons wasn't going to talk to anybody. The room was heavy with gas. The window I broke let in some air. Scared faces stared in at the door. It smashed open, then I yelled at them.
You call the police. Ask for Lieutenant Kling. Go on, hurry.
I took a quick look around before I left. In one closet was a fur coat. And from what I knew about fur, this one took money to buy. It had her initials embroidered in the lining.
but it didn't fit with the cheap flat. Well, I thought it was about time to make a trip to the Evening Record, where Daly worked as a reporter. Some of the boys knew me, so it was easy to get to talk to Daly's editor.
I don't know, Holiday. All I know is that Daly promised me a big story, something he was working on.
Now, look, Charlie, any idea what it was?
None. The kid was close-mouthed.
Oh, but you must have some idea. Didn't he give you any hint?
Just that it was big and would blow off the top of the building when we printed it.
How long did he work for you?
Oh, about 6 months, no more.
What big assignments did you give him?
None. Routine stuff. He didn't have enough experience. Just out of journalism college when the war broke. Went through it. Then served at the war trials in Germany.
And in the 6 months with you, there wasn't anything important enough to get him killed, huh?
No, there wasn't. Oh, let's see. We sent him on a routine assignment to San Carlito and...
San Carlito? What's that?
Just one of those little islands in the West Indies. The paper's doing a series on Latin American neighbors, and we...
Anything there that might have been the big story?
You mean what he was talking about?
Yeah, that's it. How long after he got back did he begin to talk about the something big?
Hey, just about the same day he walked in here.
Where's his desk?
Just outside this office.
Oh. All his stuff in there?
Most of it. We were going to send it to his mother, but, well, you know how things are. It was too soon. We figured we'd wait. And...
Come on, let's take a look.
Just the usual stuff.
What are these photographs?
Never saw them before.
Full face, profiles of men. You know them?
Not from Adam.
Oh, Charlie, can I have these?
Well, I don't know, Holiday.
There's one ex-newspaper man to an editor. Come on, let me have them.
Okay. I didn't see you take them.
Thanks. Now, mind if I go through the rest of your stuff?
No, help yourself. I'll be at my desk.
Right. I went through Daly's papers. There was one little notebook with an entry in it that read, "Got to be careful. Never be alone. They won't dare make a try for me unless I'm alone. I've got proof on film. Photos of the men I recognized." Okay, so Daly's notebook gave me another lead. But where to? Well, maybe Daly's mother would know. I looked at my watch, but it was after midnight, so I figured it was too late to see her, and I decided to wait until morning. I wish I'd have gone right then and there. The next morning, I went to see Daly's mother, and I found her in the middle of an excited bunch of neighbors. When I got her alone, she told me what was up.
There were burglars. They ransacked Arthur's room.
Well, let's take a look.
But there's nothing missing.
Well, let's look anyway.
They went through all the drawers.
You didn't hear them?
No, I slept right through it.
Uh-huh. Mrs. Daly, what could they have wanted?
I don't know. There's nothing of value here.
Look, when Arthur came back from San Carlito, did he bring anything with him?
Why, I don't think so.
A camera, maybe?
His own, but he took that with him when he went.
Now think hard, Mrs. Daly. Did he take any film out of that camera when he got back?
I think he did. Yes, I remember. He hurried out with some film to have it developed.
Where is it?
I don't know.
Did he get it back from the shop where he took it?
I don't think so. I think he'd have shown them to me if he had.
And the roll of film he took out of his camera is still in the shop. It must be. Mrs. Daly, we've got to find a check for that film. The kind you get when you leave film to be developed. Come on, let's look. We looked and looked and looked. No check. Began to seem as though whoever ransacked the room found the check, and if he had, well, the thing was over. After half an hour, we gave up. But there was still one more thing to find out. Mrs. Daly, would you mind taking a look at these photographs? Do you know any of these men?
Why, I'm not sure. They look familiar, but... His scrapbook, the one he brought back from the war. There are pictures like those in the scrapbook.
Well, show it to me, will you?
It's in my room, right next door. Here it is.
Here they are, the pictures.
But I don't see.
I think I do. But I'm afraid to believe it. Look, Mrs. Daly, Whatever you do, stay with your neighbors. Don't be alone for a minute. I left the house, and the idea I had was buzzing around inside my head. If I was right, then the whole thing was fantastic. But the pieces began to fit together. Maybe I was thinking too hard. I didn't see the big black car that turned down the corner. I didn't see it until I was almost staring between its headlights. I jumped back and up, and the fenders of the car took the skin off my legs, and the car roared away. That big black buggy had my name for a license plate. It would have looked just like an accident. But it told me something. That whoever was doing the dirty work didn't have the check for the film. Because the proof of what Daly knew was on that film. And if Mr. Accident Maker had it, he wouldn't have risked another accident. I called Kling, got him on the phone.
What do you want me to do?
Check every Photoshop in the city for a roll of film mailed just before Daly was killed.
How do you know he mailed it?
Because he wouldn't have been fool enough to take it to a Photoshop. He knew they were tailing him, waiting to grab that film. So he mailed it. With a note that he'd call for.
Okay, I'll pick up the film, if I can find it.
Oh, no, Kling, don't pick it up, please.
But you just said you
were... Kling, tell me where it is, call my office, and I'll pick it up.
Look, you're asking for a crepe wreath in your door. If those babies are what you say, they'll cut you little pieces.
You want them, don't you?
Sure, but I don't...
The only way to get them is to make them come after that film. And they won't call it headquarters for it, Kling. But they will try to get it from me. I waited. Finally, Kling gave me the word. I picked up the film and printed the little finishing shop. Kling had given orders that I was to have it. I got in my car, looked in the rear vision mirror, and saw a big black sedan pull in behind me. This was it. I couldn't spot Kling in the squad car he said would be handy. Maybe something held it up. I didn't know. I got to my apartment. The sedan pulled up behind me and parked. I walked up to my apartment. Went over to the window and saw a man get out of the sedan. He walked slowly and disappeared into my apartment building. I sat down with the film and prints burning a hole in my pocket. Then... Who is it?
Mr. Holliday, I'd like to talk to you.
I took one more look out of the window. The street was empty except for the sedan. No squad car, no Kling. Brother, if ever I wanted to see that big guy, it was now. I walked to the door.
Mr. Holliday?
Uh-huh. Who are you?
My name is, we'll say Stefan.
Okay, you're Mr. Stefan. So what?
I shall be brief. You have a roll of film and some prints. I am a camera enthusiast. I shall pay you a good price for the film.
How much?
You're going to be reasonable. That's fine. Shall we say 10,000?
That's big money for a strip of celluloid.
I am very enthusiastic about photography.
You know, I like pictures myself. Especially pictures of some nice little Nazis who got out of Germany with a lot of money.
Oh? You guessed, huh?
Yeah, but Daly wasn't guessing when he recognized them in San Carlito. He wasn't guessing that San Carlito's a little island with lots of deserted coastline. Easy to land on.
Yes, very handy.
And they paid well to escape the trials in Nuremberg.
You just talked yourself out of $10,000.
Oh, now that's very funny. You would have killed me anyway, as you killed Daly to keep him from spreading the story.
You're so right. Now, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, that gun didn't look nice. He had it right at my head. I sat still. Stefan came slowly toward me. The black hole in the barrel of his gun looked like the business end of a cannon. Then...
Get the floor, Holliday! Go!
Kling, at this particular minute, you're the most beautiful thing in the world.
Mr. Holliday?
Well, at that moment, Susie, Lieutenant Kling landed and took over.
Sorry I drew it so close, Holliday, but I had to let Stefan talk a while.
Yeah. By the way, where was that squad car?
Well, there wasn't any. The squad car would have scared Stefan away. I had to make it look safe. The boys and I were right next door. Had been for an hour.
Now, he tells me.
Well, it's up to the Federals now. We're cleaning this in.
Gee, I sure... Oh, Mr. Holliday, you might have been killed.
Oh, it's okay now, Susie. It's all over.
But you might have been killed. And I like this job so much. What'd I say?
Very funny, Kling. Nothing, Susie, nothing. Good night.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may currently be seen in Wild Harvest. Box 13 is directed by Richard Sandville with original story by Russell Hughes and original music composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager. The part of Susie is played by Sylvia Picker and Lieutenant Kling by Edmund MacDonald. This is a Mayfair production.
And that's Box 13, October 31st, 1948, with Suicide or Murder, starring Alan Ladd.